We're starting a new series today where we want you, and I don't know if you remember back to when you were in elementary school or middle school or whatever, and you were in gym class and they picked teams. You remember that? You know what I mean? And like you're going to play basketball or wiffle ball or kickball or whatever, and they line everybody up and they pick two captains. And if you're like me, you were never the captain. If you're like Mark Gosnell, you were always the captain. But you know, you're out there, you're sitting in the crowd, and you're thinking to yourself, oh God, please let them pick me, not last, right? You know, you want to be picked not last, because the last person is always the one that's like, nobody wants you. Well, have you ever thought that when it comes to how God sees you, he says, I want you. And as his body, the church, I think we should reflect that same posture, that we want you. And so over the next few weeks, I'm gonna talk about some things that we want you for, that we want you to do, that we want you to be a part of. And I know that as we talk about some of these things, some of you are already a part of these things. You're already doing these things, but some of you aren't. And so this is a message for all of us, because as we're gonna see today, the church doesn't work like the church is supposed to work if all the church isn't working like the church is supposed to be working. That each of us has a part to play in what God is doing, and not just a little part, but an essential part. And so I want to begin today by saying thank you to some of you who are already doing so much. A big thank you, actually, because there's so many of you that already volunteer and contribute to the body life at Hub City Church. And if that's you, I want to thank you for serving. And in fact, I made a list, and I'm not going to read through the list today. Maybe I'll read through it on but I have a list of over 30 names of you who are serving in different areas. I just brainstormed real fast. I'm sure I left some people off that list this week. But the reason why that's so important is, you know, we're not a huge church, but we have a pretty large percentage of our church that actually is serving somewhere. But what I know, and what some of you know, is that even though some of you are serving, not all of you are serving. And so my goal today is, if you consider Hub City Church your church family, now, if you're here and you're a guest, this is for your first time, or you're not a Christian, then what I'm saying today doesn't apply to you at all. You can pay attention. You might learn some things. You might actually want to be a part of what God's doing here. But if you consider Hub City Church your church family and you're not serving yet, I just want to do everything in my power by looking at some passages that the Apostle Paul writes to motivate you and encourage you to serve somewhere. And so let's jump in and talk about this. And I was thinking, there really are, for those people who aren't serving yet, there are a number of reasons why you're not serving. I think, I mean, there's probably 10 or more reasons why you're not serving, maybe more than that. But I came up with, I think, the top three reasons why you're not serving. And here's the first one. First one is this: you didn't know you were needed, which is a valid excuse. Like you look around and things seem to be going well, and we don't like talk about things a lot of times that are needed around here. So you're like, everything's going good. I'm not really needed. But let me just tell you, that's not true. You're definitely needed. That's why we want you to serve somewhere and somehow. Another reason why, reason why you might not have for serving is, you're just a tad bit individualistic. Now, I just said a tad bit because I didn't want to like throw anybody under the bus, you know, for being super individualistic. But let's be honest, we all are massively individualistic. Now, don't hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying you're a tad bit individual. There's nothing wrong with being an individual. As we're going to see in a minute, each of us are individuals who are different and separate and unique from one another. But being individualistic is different than being an individual, because being individualistic means that our focus is on ourselves. And that's a problem, because when it comes to following Jesus and being a Christian, it's not about you individually, right? Which leads to the last reason why you don't serve, and that's because maybe you've forgotten what it means to be a Christian, which sounds kind of harsh, right? But it's so easy for us to forget what it means to be a follower of Jesus because of all the voices that we're listening to all the time, the radio, the social media, the TV, it's, you know, whatever it is that we're allowing into our minds, it's consuming our thinking and our thoughts, and we forget what it means to be a Christian. And what it means to be a Christian is that we have an others-focused faith. Our faith isn't me-focused, it's others focused. We've talked about that a lot of times. And the reason why is because the one we follow, Jesus, he came to serve others, not to be served by others. So if you're not serving, I want you to know a few things. One, Hub City Church isn't all that we could be or need to be as a church community without you doing your part. It's not. I also want you to know, this is what's amazing. We would do better with you, and we would be better with you. There's a part of us that's missing. There's a part of us that's absent when you're not doing your part. That's why it's so important for all of us to do our part. And let me just say something to those of you that are already serving somewhere. You're hearing this and you're like, I don't need to pay attention to this because I'm already serving somewhere. But here's what my experience in being in church world has taught me, that over time, people who are serving get to a point where they're like, you know, I just don't want to do it anymore. And I just want to take a little break from serving. Now, let me just ask you this. I'm not going to ask you that. That's rude. But what I'm going to say is, if that's the case, this is a good reminder of what we're going to talk about that you need to bring to mind when you get to that point. So, but I don't want you to take my word for it. I want us to look at a few passages that the Apostle Paul talks about this, because this whole idea that you have an essential and unique part to play in the body of Christ is a thread that flows throughout the New Testament, specifically throughout the letters of the Apostle Paul. And I just want to look at two of those instances this morning. One is in Romans chapter 12. And it starts off, Paul says this. He says, for just as each of us have one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace that's given us. What Paul does here is he takes our individual bodies and uses them to illustrate what it means to be a part of the corporate body, the church. And basically, Paul says three things in this passage. The first thing he says is this, that you are a part of something bigger than you. You are a part of something bigger than you. You're part of the body of Christ. And what's fascinating about that is that all of us, somewhere deep inside, want to be a part of something bigger than us. We want to be a part of something that matters. We want our life to count. And Paul says, got good news. As a part of the body of Christ, you are a part of something bigger than you. You are a part of the church. But he says something else in this passage as well. We're different from each other. Now, we know that, right? You look around. I mean, we're different. We're not the same. We have different talents and skills and personalities. But even though we're different, we are still a part of one body. We work together. My right hand is different than my left hand, which is different than my foot, which is different than my ear, which is different than my, you know, my hip bone, whatever. We have all, they're different parts, but it's all part of the same body. You are part of a body that's bigger than you. And then Paul, in the passage, he took it one step further and says that we belong to each other, but we're not going to talk about that today. That's a whole another topic for another day. But the third point is this, that we have unique gifts. And I should have added onto there, we have unique gifts that are essential to the whole. We have unique gifts that are essential to the whole. See, what's amazing is we don't all have the same gifts and talents and skills, that we have unique gifts. And what Paul is telling us here is that we've been given these unique gifts by Jesus. Like Jesus has given us a divine enablement. That's what I read this week. I love that word. A divine enablement, a divine gift, a divine skill. And it's a specific area, a specific thing where we thrive over and above other people who are around us. You could think of it as a personalized gifting. Think about that for a minute. You have a personalized gifting. Now, we could just sit on that for a minute. But I want you to think about this. Your personalized gifting is not for personal use. See, even though you have a personalized gifting, it's not for personal use. It is for corporate use. It's for use within the body, because we are part of a body. So just so that you don't forget, you're part of something bigger than you, and you have a unique part to play in this thing that's bigger than you. And what that means is that we have some responsibilities. We need to figure out some things, how we can be a part of the body, which leads to the second passage that I want to look at. This is out of Ephesians chapter 4. I love what Paul writes here. He says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. And I'll stop there for a minute, because a lot of times we read this and we think that Paul's talking about people like me who do things like I do. But I've kind of taught about this before, that those five gifts, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher are really umbrella gifts. And each of you has a gifting that falls under one of those umbrellas. I mean, when it comes to the apostle, maybe you have a gifting of being a pioneer or an entrepreneur or being someone who likes to start something, an innovator. If you're a prophet, you're a motivator, an encourager. You can see the truth and you can speak the truth in a way that other people are convicted and feel, you know, even feel good about themselves after they're convicted. If you are an evangelist, you're a connector. You have a unique ability just to connect with people. Some of you are great with that. Others of you, you repel people. But some of you, we have a disproportionate number of those people here at Hub City. No, I'm just kidding. That's true. But you just have a unique ability to connect with people. That's the evangelism gift. God's given you that to use for a purpose. The teaching gift, you can make complex things simple. Hopefully I'm using my teaching gift to make something complex simple on a regular basis here. And then the shepherd gifts, that's just one where you have a unique care for people. You really can care deeply for people and in ways that others are not. So Paul says that we have all these unique gifts that he's given us, but why would he give us these gifts? Look at what he says next. To equip people for works of service. Like, you have been given a gift, not just for you to use for yourself, but for you to use to connect other people. I wrote this down, that God has given you a gift to equip and motivate and encourage the rest of us to serve. Have you ever thought about that? Like, your abilities have been given to you, not just for you to use, but for you to motivate and encourage me to use my gifts. That's how we all work together. There's this interconnectedness to being a part of the body. And implied in all of this is this whole idea of using your gifts and serving isn't optional. Like, it's not for the professional Christians or the super Christians or the spiritually mature. It's for anybody and everybody who's a part of the body of Christ. And anybody and everybody who's a part of the body of Christ is anybody who says they're a follower of Jesus, who says that they're a Christian. So this isn't optional. You've been gifted to serve. But why? He goes on and answers that for us. He says, so that, this is why, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. In other words, the reason why you've been gifted to serve is so that the body, all of us, not just you, but all of us, can be built up, so that we can be unified. You realize we can't be unified unless all of us are doing our part. So that we will grow in the knowledge of the Son of God. The way you get to know Jesus better is by exercising your gift. The way you grow in your relationship with Jesus is by serving. And then he says, so that we will become mature, which means that you can't become mature if you're not doing your part in the life of the body. And then he says, to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is how we become like Jesus. Why? Because Jesus was one who came to serve and not to be served. I think you could boil down what Paul says in these two passages with this statement, that we are the body of Christ, and the way we live out being the body of Christ is to serve one another. In fact, I want to encourage you to take this. Maybe you can take a screenshot of this, or it's just on the YouVersion Bible app. You can screenshot it there. And for you to make it kind of your mantra this week, that you would say this about yourself, even if it's not true yet, that you would make this personal and say, I am the body of Christ. Or maybe I am a part of the body of Christ. And the way I live out being the body of Christ is serving one another. That you would make that kind of your statement this meeting. See, and the thing is, we need you here at Hub City. But not only do we need you, that sounds desperate, right? We want you. That sounds even more desperate, but we're not good at it. We do. We want you. I want you. Because why? I want our church to be all that it can be. I want us to be built up. I want us to be unified. I want us to know Jesus more. I want us to be mature. I want us to be like Jesus. We want you to serve. so that we can be the right representatives of Jesus, like he's called us to be. But I know some of you might still have some objections. Like, for instance, I've got a couple. You might think, well, I can't serve because I'm not a mature enough Christian. I've actually heard that before. I haven't been a Christian long enough, or I'm not even sure I am a Christian. Yeah, I'm not sure what I believe, so I'm not mature enough, so I can't serve. But the truth is, maturity is never a qualification for serving in the body. In fact, what we learned from the passage that we just read is that as we serve, that's the path towards growing in maturity. I thought about it this way. If you ever watched a little baby when they're learning to use their grasp skill, you know, they reach out and they grab Cheerios, and it starts off and they just put their hand down on the plate and they just, you know, do it up, and then they just, you know, on their face, they can't really control it. It's only as they use their grasping gift over time that they develop the skill of picking up a single Cheerio and putting it into their mouth. You only develop your maturity as a Christian as you use your gifts. You will never, this is scary, but it's true, never mature as a follower of Jesus if you're not serving somewhere. It's just not, it cannot happen. It's not possible. So you don't have to be mature. Another excuse, you're like, well, I just don't know what to do. Well, good news. I'm going to tell you some things that you could do in just a minute. And then the last excuse, which I think is most of our excuses to most things, and that's this. I just don't have time. I'm too busy. It's like I've said this before, we wear busyness as a badge of honor. I'm busy. That means I'm important. And so I'm too busy to serve somewhere. But the truth is, when we say I'm too busy, what we're really saying is, I just don't want to make the time. I just don't want to make the commitment. I just don't want to do that. I just don't want to commit to that. Well, when we say that, what we say, I'm too busy, or that I don't have the time, or that I just don't want to make a commitment to this. Basically, what we do to ourselves is we end up making ourselves church consumers. And like we've talked about before, God has not called us to be consumers, where we just sit and we intake all of this stuff for us. God has called us to be contributors to the body. So if you've ever made this excuse, well, I just don't have time, or I don't want to make the commitment to do this, or I'm just too busy, or whatever your excuse might be, remember that the path that leads you down is the path towards being a consumer. And that path is way far away from the path of following Jesus. So it's only when everyone serves and does their part that we're actually able to be the church that God has called and created us to be. And that's why we need you. So what I want to do is I want to share with you a few opportunities that we have right now. And if you're already serving on some of these, first, thank you for doing that. If you're not, these could maybe spark something in you to see where you're needed so that you can get rid of that excuse. Here's some of them. And I've told you, I've said, I'm putting down how many people we need and kind of if I know some more details. So with the babies, that's like two and under, you know, the babies. We need 1 to 2 people on the fifth Sunday. That's like three. That's, I can't even do math. That's 4 times a year. There's 4 fifth Sundays every year. That's all it is. We're looking for 1 to 2 people who can help out with that. When it comes to preschool, this is our biggest need right now. Right now, Sally's down there every week by herself. We've already got somebody who's volunteered to help us with that. We need at least 5 to 6 people to help out, and you'll be on a rotating basis. You won't have to be there every week, maybe once a month if you get enough people. Maybe it can be even less than that, okay? But you get to serve with those kind of 3, 4, and 5-year-olds who, let me just tell you, 3, 4, and 5-year-olds are a handful for their parents, but they're fantastic if you're not their parent because they're fun. You know, you can just have good time with them. You can make sure that they know that God loves them and God made them and God wants to be their friend forever. You can help a preschooler love church in such a way that it'll last the rest of their life. What an incredible opportunity. When it comes to elementary, we're looking for 1 person to help out on the 4th Sunday. We're starting our elementary school ministry back the Sunday after Labor Day, so 2 weeks from today. And we're looking for 1 person to help out on the 4th Sunday. For greeting, that's 3 or 4 people to stand at the door so that Jamie doesn't have to stand out in the cold or the hot. It wasn't cold today, man. every single week by himself. You just hold the door open, tell people you're glad they're here. Now, let me tell you, some of you don't need to do that because you look miserable. But some of you can just say, hey, I'm glad you're here to people. It's really easy. Hold the door open. This is a great, great opportunity to serve. When it comes to, we need sound, one to two people. I know we've got somebody helping learning the sound stuff with Trey this morning, but we're looking for people with that. There's some more things on the list. Presentation, that's stuff on the screen here. That's presentation. That's what I'm talking about. You like, you know, upload the stuff into ProPresenter, which is like a fancy version of PowerPoint. Not really, but kind of. You know, if you're good with that kind of stuff, looking for two to three people to serve once a month. Video recording. We try and record all the services when there's lights on. We're not recording video today because there's no lights and you just see black. But so that Daryl doesn't have to sit up there doing it every single week. You can help out with him. IT. Some of you have computer skills. That's not me, but some of you have computer skills and you can help out with our networking and that kind of stuff so that Brett doesn't feel totally responsible with all this. Facility and grounds, 3 to 4 people on an as-needed basis. Let me say something about the grounds thing as that's coming up with this week. Some of you are really good with landscaping and flowers and plants and all that kind of stuff. I would love for there to be someone or someones who would take it upon themselves to make our campus look more beautiful. And if that's you, that is a great place to serve. And let me just tell you, if that's you, you don't have to ask permission from me if you can do something. Just go do something to make our campus look beautiful, okay? Just do it. I want to show up one day and be like, oh my gosh, that looks incredible. And then, you know, where'd that come from? Yeah, that'd be great. If you're good at that, that'd be fantastic. And then prayer. If you want to be a part of a prayer team, I'd encourage you to talk to me. I also have on here that's not on the list, a communion team. The Sunday after Labor Day, we're going to start offering communion where you can come up front and get communion so we don't have to use the little cups all the time. If you want to be a part of that, helping bring bread and get the juice ready every week, that's an opportunity for you to serve. But these are some places where you're needed. But I want to say something to the one specific group of people in the room. If you're a teenager, I know a lot of times teenagers feel like, there's nothing for me to do, so I'm just going to come and sit or whatever. Everything that we put up on the screen of places that we have needs, they are places where you can serve. And so if you're a teenager, I want to encourage you not to be the church when you grow up, but to be the church today. There's a place for you to serve because you are a part of the church today. So we want you to serve. So what are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? I say this, not only did our air go out this week, but our copier did too. So I have, after 18 copies of, I was gonna give everybody one of these, but if you, after 18 copies, the copy machine said, I'm done, I quit. No lie. Beeped red and yelled at me, all this kind of stuff. But if you're not serving somewhere, right up here on the front are these little sheets. You can fill it out with your name, phone number, and put what you're interested in, and somebody will contact you this week about how you can get connected. But I just want you guys to walk out of here knowing this. You are a part of the body of Christ, but not just any part of the body of Christ. Each of you, if you call yourself a Christian, are an essential part of the body of Christ. You have a unique and essential, that means if you're not doing your part, something's missing, a unique and essential role to play in our body. What are you going to do about that? Let's pray. God, thanks for the opportunity to talk about this. I thank you so much. I'm blown away that you have invited us and called us to be a part of your body, that we are a part of the body of Christ. And my prayer for our church family is that we would not have anybody who's sitting on the sidelines, but that all of us would step in and do our part. For those that are already serving, I ask that you would encourage them and strengthen them and give them grace and just shower your appreciation on them for how they're serving in your body. But for those who aren't serving yet, I ask that you would motivate them and encourage them and make them a little uncomfortable until they are serving, until they are doing their part. God, thanks for the opportunity to talk about this. Help us to be the church that you have called and created us to be. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to respond like we do every week by sharing communion. And we've got these little cups in the seats in front of you. And you know, I was thinking about communion as it relates to serving. And the truth is, a lot of religions have you serve so that you can earn God's favor, so that he'll, you know, do good things for you. We don't serve so we can earn God's favor. We serve because Jesus has already accepted us where we are. And we remember that with communion. We remember that Jesus offered his body on the cross and died on the cross so that our sins, we can never earn his favor. We can never do enough to earn his favor. He did it all for us. And so we just want to take communion and remember that this morning, that we take the bread, which represents Jesus' body that was broken for us. And we remember what he's done on our behalf. And then we take the juice, which represents his blood that was shed so that our sins could be forgiven. That sin that separated us from him. He took care of that separation problem by shedding his blood on the cross. We take and we remember what he's done for us, and we tell him thank you. God, thank you that we don't have to earn your favor. Thank you that we don't serve to get on your good side, but we serve because of what you've already done for us. You have adopted us into your family. And that's why we do this. And we remember that with this communion right now. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.